You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follow up. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number.
We were talking about guns. We'll continue to talk about guns. Mr. Guns himself, Mike Musselman, joins us. What's going on, big man?
What's up?
Nothing. Nothing. I just...
What's the gun question?
Well, no, I just... I want you to explain something. So I just interviewed the guy from Military Times who writes about... who's been writing about the Sig Sauer thing, right? So...
Yeah.
He's a former Marine, and he's a comm Marine. Grew up in Western Kansas. Grew up in Dodge City, Kansas. Yeah, Wyatt Earp and all that kind of stuff. So grew up. All he wanted to do was be a grunt. So he's doing like adventure training. So he's parachuting. Breaks his ankle when he's 17. Can't go to boot camp on his delayed entry contract. And then the recruiter sits down with him and says, "Hey, man, you just had your ankle like re-put together. I don't know if the grunts, that's going to be, I mean, that's a lot of humping, a lot of hard work. Maybe given your GCT," and he probably had open slots, right? COM might be a better way to go. You have the GT to get into that. So he winds up going COM. He winds up being an operator with Second Recon during the march up with Task Force Tarawa. So he gets out, and now he's working for Military Times. So I would tell you the most interesting part of the article talks about the modular handgun system comes out of the Air Force.
Right.
Okay, and so things you know. But the most interesting part of the interview was the whole Glock thing, because I think I said it sounds like everybody expected Glock to be awarded the contract. He said, "Well, I think everybody did. Everybody wanted Glock to get it because Glock is such a favorite among shooters for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of military shooters, especially special operations guys. I mean, Glock is if you go see what they shoot Glock." And I said, "So," and I mentioned your name, and I said, "Mike said that it ultimately comes down to the safety issue." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Because one of the specifications in the requirement was for a safety." And he said, "Essentially, Glock said, screw you, we're not modifying our weapon." And he said, "So maybe a bit of arrogance on Glock's part that they thought they would win the contract and they thought everybody would come to their concept of what it is to have a safe handgun. And clearly the DOD didn't, and Sig Sauer," he said, "look, the DOD's got to engineer this thing to the lowest common denominator. Yeah, there are a lot of shooters, but in this spot, a lot of people are novice shooters and non-shooters." And so I'm curious about your thoughts. Is that what Glock did? Did Glock say, "Look"?
No. Glock submitted the 23 MHS, which was the Glock submission in 40 caliber and in 9mm, had a safety.
23 MHS.
Yeah, so if you Google search the 23 MHS modular handgun system for Glock, you'll see the safety on the Glock. That was the submission for the Glock. Glock submitted the safety system.
So where am I going to find the safety on the Glock?
Well, if you look, are you looking at the pictures?
Yes.
It's the lever right there. It says S&S right on the serrated side of the Glock.
On which side? As I'm pointing it, the left or right?
It's ambidextrous, so it'd be both be both fitters.
That lever, that lever that's just would be at the thumb on the right hand side and maybe a little bit further down on the left hand side.
It's a black switch, and then on the right side it's an elongated switch.
Right, on the left side it's a shorter version of that switch, just kind of.
Yeah, that's the safety.
Okay, that's the safety. Now I'm more curious then.
Yeah, because when you talk about height over bore, so that's the height. If you compare the SIG to the Glock's barrel is much lower than the SIG. The SIG's got a higher barrel. You know, and the problem is then it's managing recoil. When you have a bore system that's more in line with your wrist, you have much more manageable recoil system. When your barrel is higher, you're going to get much more recoil. And I think the problem comes into is the Glock has a tendency to be a more forgiving weapon to shoot if you're more experienced.
Explain that.
Because if you limp wrist a Glock, it's going to jam on you. If you don't know how to shoot or hold a gun, it's not a forgiving gun.
Okay, explain the physics behind limp wristing it, and does that dissipate some of the?
Yeah, it minimizes the actual recoil taking place to actual cycle the next round. So, like, my wife loves the Glock 19X that I have.
Right.
But she has a hard time shooting it because she's got weaker wrists. So when she goes to pull trigger, the gun recoils in her hand because she can't hold it steady enough. And so when it recoils more, the tendency is the slide doesn't go all the way back.
That makes sense to me. So give me, in your opinion, why, let's just say that the right choice was made. Why the Sig Sauer over the Glock?
Because the Sig Sauer, you know, the Sig has it comes with a myth that, you know, it's a good gun. I'm not putting the Sig down. It's
right.
A good gun. It's just that for me, I like something that is got a more reliable, track record, and it's gonna perform better. So, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, we joked around, but you know, about, people, you know, Sig had, you know, people that were gonna go work for Sig and stuff like that. It's probably not that. It's just, you know, people are fantasized, or you have this fantasy with Sig Sauer that, you know, it's more than what it really is.
Interesting. No, and just the whole procurement thing is interesting. Now, I'm going to give you a little test here. So, how many pistols at 180 copies can I buy for $580 million?
At $180 a piece?
That's the number you gave me last week.
Yeah, that was the number that I saw on the website.
Right. The Marine Corps is spending $130 in their budget stuff. But you gave me $180. How many pistols can I buy for $180?
You can buy 3,223,222.
No, you missed. I think one of us missed it's 3 million pistols. Why do I need spare parts? I don't, right? That's a lot of money to spend on 200,000 pistols.
It is, but that's the maintenance tail. So I don't know what was actually included in the,
right.
The maintenance tail. You know, if that included gun racks, I don't know, space for the armory,
So does that buy, does it include the different items that'll be used on rails? Does it it doesn't?
No. That's all additional, like suppressors and lights and lasers.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's additional. Holster probably included in there, yes?
Probably not.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, that's a pretty good contract.
That's a great contract if you're the company.
Wow.
You know, and it came back to, you know, what happened was, what really came out was, SIG's proposal was $100 million cheaper than the Glock, which ultimately landed SIG's side of the contract.
Pretty interesting. Lots of money. Pretty interesting stuff.
But, you know, in the end, as we know, that contract, $100 million cheaper, in the end, it's probably not going to be $100 million cheaper.
No, it'll probably be $100 million more expensive.
Yeah. And, you know, and it said right here, I mean, the Glock Incorporated met or exceeded all of the mandated threshold requirements set forth by the RFP, the request for proposal by the Army, said Glock's VP. And then when they submitted Glock then turned in a submission basically protesting it,
right,
and the GAO rejected it. Right. Government Finance Office.
The article that I read, the article that I have in front of me says, well, the contract was for 9mm. Glock also produced Glock 23 MHS model in 40 millimeter, right? Unlike other participants in the competition, Glock only submitted one pistol rather than a full size and then a compact. The Glock 19 MHS had a Glock 19 frame with lanyard hole at the base of the grip, as well as a flared magwell. They didn't submit both pistols, just one. I don't know. It surprises me now as I look at it that Glock didn't win this, given the vast number of guys in the military that are Glock aficionados. Right? Honestly, I don't know anybody. Like, when you ask them, what kind of pistol do you have? Right? I don't know. I don't know anybody who has ever said to me, Sig Sauer. Right? And that's just my friends and the people that I know. And when weapons come up, what do you own? Oh, I own a Glock. And the majority of them are Glock 19s. So, interesting. Interesting. Email question for you. Hey, Matt, could the gunner walk through all the different tweaks that you could make with this modular handgun system? Is it simply changing the size of the grip that is the modular piece in the organic weapon?
No.
What else changes in this whole modular thing?
Okay, so part of it is the grips. You can actually have a grip adapter on the back, and it adjusts for your hand size. The second thing it does is it allows for ambidextrous control, so both left-handed shooters and right-handed shooters. That's your magazine eject, your slide lock, your safety. So it can be manipulated by, again, left or right-handed shooters. And then it's got a tactical rail system on it. You can mount a light, a laser underneath. You can put an optic on top. And it usually has a threaded barrel, so you can put a suppressor on it.
So all that's part of the modular nature.
Yeah, different size handguard or different size magazine. So if you're going to go strictly more concealed, then you have a shorter magazine. If you want full size, then you're going to have like a plus two, because it carries, is a little bit elongated at the bottom. It carries two extra rounds.
Okay, and that would be now, is that somehow other molded, the part of the magazine that would stick out of, that won't be flush with the magazine well, is that molded into the handguard somehow or other by magazines, or is it simply?
No, the magazine, it's just an extension.
Okay.
It's just a little bit longer piece.
Got it. All right. So you and I have talked about this, but I think it's pretty interesting. Tell me about how are pistols going to be used in the future? Who's going to use them? So aside from people on duty and special operators, what is the function of pistols going forward?
You know, that comes down to whatever the requirement was built. If it's a secondary weapon, then 200,000 copies is not enough for the Army.
Right.
You know, if it's a secondary weapon, that means everybody gets one. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that really has always been the Marine Corps
buy is, it can't be by definition a secondary weapon because the Marine Corps is only purchasing 35,000.
Yeah. No, you're right. So, and then, you know, Beretta, when they submitted theirs, it was just basically the same 92 FS that we have currently now, but it allowed for ambidextrous controls and it had a tactical rail on it.
Another email. Mac, I think it ought to be issued to guys who are in vehicles. Not so much Humvees or whatever comes after the Humvee, but if you're a tanker, a tracker, if you're an LAV crewman, then to me, you don't have your weapon next to you all the time. And there is a distinct possibility that for a variety of reasons, you could get launched out of that vehicle and not have a weapon with you. I think in that case, having something is better than nothing. For the rest of us who make a living on the battlefield with your rifle in your hands, to me, I don't think it's a requirement. But I do think crew members ought to have something strapped to their body in case something does happen, they can at least have a weapon. Mike, your thoughts on that? You've been a crewman before.
You know, this is the whole, if you're going to, you got to invest the time in the training to make it, make the person more capable when they use it. So, you know, the whole argument that I think it should be for crewmen, it should be for this. Yeah, it's great, but if they're not trained how to use it, it's just a detriment, you know, down the line.
So as a crew member, as an 0313 crew member, you wouldn't say that, yeah, you know, I buy that argument because if the vehicle rolls over or if something explodes and I'm blown out of it, the chances that I'm going to get a chance to grab my weapon before I get blown out of it are slim and none. I'm going to get ejected from that turret and I don't have a weapon.
Yeah.
So I think I ought to have one. Do you think that's a sound argument?
Sure, but then it goes back to the responsibility of training. You got to train the individual
on the weapon
on how to properly use the thing.
Got it.
And right now, currently, you know, most cases, it's a familiarization fire.
All right, you made that point.
Not even a qualification.
Right. What do you do five hours a year that you think you're an expert at?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
But for people that are looking to buy pistols, you know, I always tell them, don't buy the pistol on the looks. Buy the pistol on its full capability and try different pistols. But really what it comes down to when you're shooting pistols is its sight radius. It's the distance between the front your sight and the rear sight, how clear you can see your target, how heavy it weighs, and how it fits in your hand. But one of the biggest things, it goes back to bore access. You know, if you look at, I got a demonstration here and I could probably send it to you. You know, is the barrel access. So when you're looking at something like barrel access, you want to make sure that you want to lower the barrel access down to as low as possible, because you're going to get a better performing gun.
Interesting. And again, define barrel access.
So it's the height over the barrel to your wrist. So I'm trying to send this picture to you.
Okay.
Here.
So
this will probably be.
So over my wrist, the height of the barrel, the lower the barrel is, the better performing the weapon.
Yeah. So you have your cell phone with you, your personal one?
Yep.
Okay. I'm sending you a photograph that would show this. Okay, I just sent it to you.
Got it. I don't got it yet. So that thing, I understand.
That is comparison to a Glock pistol on the right and a SIG to the left. You know, and the difference in that, okay, it just got sent. The height difference is 23 millimeters. Barrel's higher than your wrist by 23 millimeters. So you're going to get a lot more recoil over that gun than you would a gun that's lower. So when you pick up a pistol and you hold it, stick it out in front of you with one hand and look at the distance where the barrel would be in relation to your wrist. The higher it is, the more recoil you're going to feel.
Oh, wow.
See the difference?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
And that's why I tell people, why would you want to experience more recoil? Because more recoil means more time off the target. You've got to take more time to settle that gun back onto the target.
Wow. I'll use this picture that I put up for this segment on our post. But when you see the picture, if I could describe it, is a guy with two weapons. He's got the Beretta in his left hand and the Glock in his right hand.
No, that's a SIG in the right.
Okay. So, but when you look at it, you'll think it's a Beretta, because I mean, it looks fairly similar to it. Okay, and
so tall.
Oh my God, and the Glock is looks like a somewhat class destroyer, sleek and low to the water, pretty amazing
oh, yeah.
when you look at it. Wow, 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 wow. The take me back, Mike, in terms of. Why did we buy the Beretta and you know, the whole double action thing, the decocking? What was all – talk to me about the thinking of the Beretta.
Yeah, I wasn't around because the Beretta was, I think, 1979. It was going through the whole requirements and stuff. And we wanted to get away from, the 45 and come up with, you know, a better pistol for, I don't know, whatever argument they had. So, and plus I think, you know, back in the day, all the armed forces carried the 45, where the Air Force, used the 38 special revolver.
Right.
So when it came to actually trying to find something in between, you got to look at back in those days. One, the Glock wasn't around yet in 1979. So, you know, when you compare it to other guns that were available, your Smith & Wesson, your Sig Sauer, your HK, you know, your FNs, your H&K, your Walters, the Beretta was probably the better of all the guns at that time, was probably without a doubt. And then, you know, the Beretta suffered bad publicity because the 9mm talked about stopping power. You know, why were we going to? But it was the ammunition, just like the M4 in Operation Anaconda suffered, you know, bad publicity. It wasn't due to the gun. It was due to the ammunition. We were using, you know, the wrong ammunition for the gun. So the 9mm, the bread of 9mm, it still does. Ball rounds. Ball rounds, you know, are used for shooting paper targets, not for people.
But that's what you'll go to war with, is the ball round. Now, supposedly, not with the Sig Sauer, because included in the buy, evidently, is the development of a holotip round and other ammunition. So talk to us about that.
So then it came around that we couldn't use hollow points because they were expanding rounds. And then due to the Hague Accords, you know, expanding bullets basically caused undue suffering to the enemy, which I don't understand any of that. I mean, war, you can shoot somebody with a frickin' Maverick missile or drop a 2,000-pound bomb on them, but shooting with an expanding bullet, boy, that is where we draw the line.
Yeah. It's inhumane.
Yeah, it's inhumane. So then the end around for that, for rifles, was something that we coined was open tip match, OTM. So the round was designed with a hollow point that stabilized it better in flight, made it more accurate. And the second or third order effect was, yeah, it did expand and caused, you know, better wound ballistics, but that was not the case. Well, that was not the primary reason why we designed it. It was primarily designed for accuracy. Well, pistols have always suffered because, you know, there is no open tip match for a pistol. It's all hollow point. And then the thing came out where special forces guys, that's all they use is, you know, hollow point bullets in their pistols. Because for some reason, they're not under the same rules and regulations that the regular ground forces are. They can shoot bad guys all day with hollow points, expanding bullets.
Email. Mac, I love gun talk, but I want to hear you guys talk about the 60 Minutes interview last night. Did either of you two watch it? Your thoughts. Mike, did you watch it? Your thoughts?
On who? Who were they interviewing?
I guess that porn star. She was on
Stormy Daniels?
She was on 60 Minutes last night. I take it you didn't watch it.
No, I wouldn't give her a minute of my time.
Any thoughts on it?
No, I mean, we start to legitimize what a porn star has to say, but morally and ethically, everything they do, we shun, but boy, when they start talking, we drop everything we're doing and we listen to them intensively. Yeah, that makes sense.
I won't defend what's not defensible. Again, what I find interesting, though, is just when this stuff happened with Bill Clinton while he was in office, after he had purged himself, right, publications like the New York Times, they wrote things like, and I'm reading, publicly humiliating anyone for consensual adultery is draconian and wrong. Right? Do voters care?
Right.
You know, they wrote stuff like that. So, again, I wouldn't defend, you know, what Donald Trump did. It is the behavior, if he did it, it is the behavior of a powerful men and women and the way they live their lives. Will I defend it? No. I will draw a distinction, though, between his behavior when he wasn't in office, and somebody whose behavior when they were a candidate running for office, and who perjured himself. So, you know, if that's going to be the criteria, then a lot of people, better trim their sails and keep their fingers crossed that nobody finds out about their personal life, right? Because
yeah, I mean, you see this whole thing now. The owner of the Mavericks down here,
Mark Cuban.
What's his name?
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban. And when Donald Trump was running for office, old Mark was running his mouth about how he treated women, how Donald Trump is just this egotistical, you know, da-da-da. And now it's coming out that Mark Cuban does the same damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that his workplace, and it's gone on for years down there.
Years! Not just isolated incidents, but all the time. You know, again, there's an old proverb, you know, an old saying about glass houses. So, I mean, unless you're that perfect individual, hey, don't pick up a stone.
There was one other story that let's see, there's an email here earlier. Mac, I heard you talking about how disappointed you were about the rallies over the weekend. I share some of your thoughts. Oh. I'd be curious about what the gunner has to say. I applaud young people for getting involved in an issue in a day that an age where it seems like they're not so much interested. However, I do absolutely agree that the issue has been hijacked. It is now not a school safety issue. It is now a gun issue. And so congratulate yeah. Democrats for channeling this energy into a Democratic issue, and all this energy will take us absolutely nowhere.
You know,
and then he says, I'd be curious to hear what Mike has to say. So, go ahead.
You know, I watched some of that, and I talked to my daughter about it. And I said, you know, we were watching it. And for these young people, yeah, okay, great. I applaud them for going out and standing up for something. The problem comes out to is, don't be a useful idiot. Understand what's going on. Do the research. Don't listen to what the news or what other people are saying. Find out the truth for yourself. So when they're reporting on this and they're asking these kids questions about gun ownership and the Constitution, and people, I get the response of, well, you know, the Constitution is outdated. What? You know, what do you mean it's outdated? It needs to be revised? The wording? What? I don't understand. I mean, outdated. You mean, just throw it away? You know, what are you trying to tell me? Outdated. This shows the ignorance, the stupidity of what we have out there. These are teachers, this is our education system that is feeding this information to these people, our youth, our future leaders of America. God help us. You know, and again, it's a perfect world because, you know, most, you know, how many of those college kids and high school kids are paying taxes? Probably none. They don't know what the real world is. They live in a fantasy land. Everything to them is fed on social media. They have no life experiences. To me, it was just appalling that you watch some of this stuff and you're like, for goodness sakes, please. Say something intelligent.
I don't think, honestly, that most of the young people, and people are going to say, oh, that's an insult to, well, then take it for what it is. I think they got told, we're going to go out there and for 17 minutes, and that's going to be for the number of people that were killed. We're going to have a moment of silence. We're going to read their names, and we're going to protest for school safety. And if you would ask them, most of the kids that went out there, if they were savvy or in any way knowledgeable about the issue on relative to gun control, the answer to that would have been no.
No, not a chance.
They're not a bit. And so, you still there?
Yeah.
And so, again, that's what, and I go back to that Andrew Pollock's quote about, you know, what this is all about, that this is not about, this is not about gun control. It's about making schools safe. And so and to me, it pains me. It pains me to see that, you have this moment where hopefully you can do something good. And at the end of the day, what happens is it gets derailed. It gets made part of a broader political agenda, you know, in this Democrat Republican thing. And, you know, you're not going to see the right thing happen out of it. And so, I don't know. It's pretty discouraging.
I tune off when the interviewer is talking like, well, you know, and I don't, you know, well, for sure. And, you know, well, no, I don't know. Tell me. Give me your viewpoint. How about protesting, like you said, school safety? And how about forcing, you know, law people, law enforcement and officials and sheriffs and things like that to, one, enforce the laws that are on the books? How about tearing down the wall that separates these special interest groups not providing information for about mental health people? Oh, you can't share that because that's a violation of their civil, you know, their civil rights. You know, there's a lot of other arguments to come back and look at. And it always goes back to, again, you know, it's crazy to me that we take advantage of this, again, political figures take advantage of this and then showcase it for whatever political agenda that they're trying to achieve. And, you know, they're not smart enough to figure out that they're being played as a fool.
Yeah, I just...
You know, at the end of the day, end of the day, they feel like they've accomplished something. No, at the end of the day, you've just been duped.
That pains me to even hear that. So you have all these young people that want to make a difference, and that all gets hijacked by this gun debate that we've had in this country for a long time that's not going away. And so instead of staying focused, as Andrew Pollock said, and instead of the issue being, where do we find the money to fund hiring more police officers and strengthening the security in our schools? Where do we find that money? Instead of that discussion, we're having a made-for-TV event complete with celebrities and politicians about gun control. So, it was discouraging because it's a missed opportunity. And let me tell you,
it was sad.
And if you did everything they want to do, no selling, banning assault rifles. Okay. If you banned them, guess what? You're still going to have school shootings, and then we could all scratch our heads and say,
How is this happening?
So to me, that's the frustrating part is, look, okay, I'll fairy dust this thing. We'll do everything that you want. And then it happens again. Now what do you say? Well, I think we need to have harden our schools and we need to have somebody there. No shit, that should have been the first thing we did. How was that not the first thing we did, given the reality of the Second Amendment and the number of weapons in our country?
Let's ban all evil acts of people.
Yeah, we'll do that. Is it going to stop them? No, it's like a restraining order. You can't see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Got
okay.
it. Okay.
Okay. How did she die?
Yeah.
She died because she was choked to death. Who choked her? The guy she had a restraining order. But he had a restraining order.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's so it's so frustrating that when you have, you know, moments in our country's history that should send us in one direction, and we don't go that direction for political reasons. And again, Andrew Pollack says, we could have a gun debate. We could have that gun debate, but at some other time. Now we need to protect our kids, and we need to strengthen security in our schools.
Right.
And when you miss that opportunity, just know this, that the day is coming when it's going to happen again. And then what do we say to those parents? Sorry. I'm really, really sorry. Not just a little bit sorry, but I'm really sorry that this happened.
Yep.
Yeah, but where is the hue and cry for, where's the hue and cry for the funds necessary to get the rest of this stuff done?
Or focus all the effort, like you just said. Focus all the effort, not on the victims. You know, the victims, there's nothing we can do about them. It's done. That's history. How about the potential? Potential still is out there. Banning guns is not going to remove that potential harm to the next group of students or the next group of parents that are going to have to go through this. The focus needs to be shifted towards, how do we prevent this in the future? Banning guns is not going to prevent this.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
All right, so what'd you do over the weekend?
Went shooting with the wife.
All right, what did she shoot? What did you shoot?
I didn't shoot anything. I just stood by her, kind of watched her. Didn't have to give her much tips on things to do because she's getting more and more confident when it comes to shooting. So
you went to a range and didn't shoot? Wow.
No, I mean, I shoot enough right now, Mac. I don't need to shoot.
So what else did you do? So you did that. Anything else exciting over the weekend?
Well, I talked to you. Buck and I went to the leather place, Andy Leather. And then just run around, get stuff done, went to the grocery store, went to brunch.
What do you see at the grocery store that intrigues you? I have to tell you, since I can't eat wheat anymore, and I'm going to tell you,
right?
I don't like it at all. You know,
right.
You want to eat a cookie? No, no cookies. Piece of cake? No. Piece of pie? No. Everything has wheat in it.
Right.
Sucks. I hate it, man. Yeah, pizza? Sorry, can't do it.
You can have pizza.
No. No.
Make it on flatbread, like a non-pizza, like non-bread.
Like what kind of flatbread? It all has wheat in it. I mean, and people say, well, what about gluten-free? Yeah, it means it doesn't have gluten in it. It doesn't mean it doesn't have wheat in it. Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. You can make a pizza on a corn tortilla.
Yeah?
Yeah, that'll work. That might work.
Or cornbread.
Does cornbread have wheat in it?
I don't know. Man, I've never heard of that. I mean, that sounds like it sucks.
You never heard of wheat allergy?
No.
Yeah. Look at that.
You're making that up.
No. It's a pretty prevalent thing. And I've never had a food allergy in my life. But I do now. You know? And I have psoriasis. So, I can control a lot of it with diet. And if I eat the wrong thing, what it does is it creates inflammation in your body, and I can tell by virtue of what I eat how my psoriasis acts. If I eat the wrong thing, you'll see it get red.
There's got to be a group, like a website, a blog you can go to that would tell you, hey,
it's called the I hate going to the supermarket because I can't eat most of that shit blog. That's what that blog's called. And so you go to the supermarket, you see all this good stuff, and it's like, yeah, I can't.
Bagels.
Anything with weed in it. Yeah, you go past the bakery, that doesn't exist for me. So, yeah, it sucks, man. Especially because there's so much awesome food out there. So much awesome food out there. But,
oh, I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke a brisket this week.
Oh.
I got a big brisket.
Getting ready for Easter?
No. Easter
brisket?
We don't hide eggs. We don't hide eggs.
You don't? You don't get Megan up and make her go find her... Make her go find her bag? Make her go find her basket?
No. That was fun when she was a kid, though. Don't get me wrong. That was a lot of fun. But no, not so much.
Interesting. All right.
What's next?
Somebody just emailed. Do you remember when we were talking about Bull Halsey, and he didn't participate in the Battle of Midway because he had a rash?
Yeah.
Somebody just sent me an email. One of my former Marines. Yeah. Can you like nice respect? Okay. Hey, email. You're turning into Bull Halsey. Well, let me just tell you the difference between me and Bull Halsey. I'm still doing my radio show. I'm not like laying in my rock going, oh, I got a rash. I need to go see the doc. Oh. Yeah, right. I'm manning up.
That would be some rash, man.
From Montana. Went to the Amish store Saturday morning, and baked goods were insane. Fried pie is what I walked out with. Mike,
fried pie is good.
What is fried pie?
It's like a fruit pie. It's like an empanada, but with pie stuff in it.
What's an empanada?
It's like a fried pie, but with meat stuff in it.
Nice. So where are you going now?
What?
Where are you going now?
Oh, nowhere right now. I'm going through my class because I got a license to carry class this weekend.
Oh.
So I'm going through that, making sure everything's set. And then, getting ready for that, preparing for that.
All right. There you have it. We'll let you go. Thanks for the visit. Thanks for the Glock explaining.
Yeah, send that, put that picture up.
No, I'll use it today for this post. All right, man. Have a good one.
Yep, bye.
There you have it. The one and only. Gunnar Musselman. That'll do it. My thanks. We'll catch up with the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Wall. The 5th Marine Regiment Vietnam Memorial Wall that's going up. So, my apologies for not being able to get Steve Colwell on the phone this morning. But I'm sure he's probably in dead space someplace in the center part of the United States. So, we will catch up with him. And then Todd South came on talking about pistol procurement. Email, hey, Mac. Do you know where I can find the guidance for transgenders? You kind of got me interested in all this, and I'd like to find the guidance. All right, if you go to Military Times... If you go to the early bird brief, you'll see an article entitled, Here is the Mattis Guidance and Pentagon Study Behind the Trump Transgender Decision. All those documents are included. Yeah. Trump's decision on the issue is here, hyperlink. Mattis's February 2018 memo to the president is here. That heretofore has been unreleased. The Pentagon study Mattis based his decision on is here. So three documents in one article. I'll throw those up. I'll throw those up as well. So, yeah, Tara Kopp posted those a couple days ago. She is the Pentagon Bureau Chief for Military Times. So that'll do it. Don't touch that dial. This program repeats itself momentarily. Tomorrow. Grant Newsham's going to join us. And then at about 7:30, I'm going to play some audio from the Commandant of the Marine Corps. The Commandant of the Marine Corps and the Secretary of the Navy talking about China. I think China's a bad deal. Yeah, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. What do they all have in common? Dictators. Yeah, dictators. Not a good deal for the rest of the world. Not a good deal for their own country. Yeah, imagine Russia. Their economy's smaller than Canada's. Also, in the news, Russia supplying the Taliban with weapons. I'd like to say I'm shocked, but I'm not. And the United States, along with a whole host of European countries, today, the United States itself booted out 60 Russian diplomats. These diplomats are Russians that are gathering, most of them are intel officers. And I think we also told Russia to close its consulate in Seattle. All this in response to the nerve agent attack of a former Russian intelligence operative who was living in Britain. Yeah, spreading VX nerve agent around. And it's crazy stuff. And Rush will deny it, and so we go. So, the world we live in, man, our kids are going to have their hands full with robust China. And God only knows, you know, Russia's one bullet away from, you know, having another violent revolution. And that is who will control the country in Vladimir Putin's absence. So, interesting little issue the Russians have going on. Remember, an economy the size of smaller than Canada's. That's ridiculous. So, have a great day. All Marine Radio reconvenes right now.